Brendan is mostly content with people not knowing about him, other than Ryan. With the obvious exception of Spencer, Brendan doesn't really care if the world knows he exists. Sometimes, though, people come to the house, and Brendan really wishes he was alive just so he could know what they're doing there. In this case, there's a scraggly-haired dude sitting on Ryan's kitchen table, drumming his fingers nervously against his ripped-up jeans. He's weirdly pale, like he doesn't ever actually see the light of day. He's got a big sketchbook tucked to his chest, and his eyes keep flicking nervously around the kitchen. Brendan wonders about that for a minute, actually, because it's almost like the guy is looking for him, like the guy can sense something's there. "Hello?" the guy says, tentatively, looking in totally the wrong direction. "Hang on a minute," Ryan yells from the hall. "I'm just getting that, the thing, give me just a..." The guy snickers a little, but his eyes stop scanning the room, and Brendan, tucked above the kitchen cabinets next to the ceiling, relaxes a little. He doesn't leave, though, because there's a guy in Ryan's kitchen, a guy who isn't Spencer or John, and that's weird enough that Brendan just needs to know. Ryan stumbles in a minute later, because he always forgets that there's a tiny bit of uneven wood at the threshold where the hallway carpet switches to the battered hardwood of the kitchen floor, with his arms piled high with folders. "Dude," the guy at the table says, blinking owlishly, "that, Ross, that is a fuck ton of paper." Ryan snorts and drops them unceremoniously onto the table. "No kidding." The guy rubs his hands together. "So, okay, yeah, where do I start?" He's got smudges of ink on his hands, on the curve of his jaw. Brendan can admire that sort of obvious absent-mindedness. Probably it doesn't matter. Just, you said you could read music?" The guy nods. Yeah, no, totally." He pulls the top folder from the stack, flipping it open and leafing through the few pages. He hums a little, a familiar bar of music, and Brendan realizes that the papers are his songs. Well, they were his songs, now they're Ryan's, but those. Ryan watches as the guy goes through each folder, humming and muttering to himself. He's hugging himself, and he doesn't move a muscle. And on Ryan, that, Brendan knows, means he's either really mad or really nervous. And since he hasn't threatened to bite the guy or tried to throw anything at him, Brendan's gonna go with nervous. Dude, the guy says, waving a folder. "Is this song about fucking?" Ryan groans and thunks his head into the table. Brendan tries not to giggle. It's not easy. So, Brendan bites his lip, because this is totally Ryan's house, too. He's not trying to pry. "Who was that?" Ryan hesitates for a minute. "He's Gerard." He palms the back of his neck awkwardly. "He does art stuff." Brendan nods, because art stuff is awesome, right? It is, except that the guy, Gerard. Gerard is a totally cool name for an art dude with scraggly hair and a fierce paleness to rival Brendan's own translucency. Had been going through their music. Brendan's music. And that doesn't have anything to do with art. "Ryan," he says. "Look, okay, he's helping me out with some of the notes I can't get. He maybe sings some, too." Ryan doesn't meet Brendan's eyes, which is awesome, because Brendan sort of feels sick. "Right," Brendan says, because he's not sure what else he can say that won't sound like bile. "Right, okay." Ryan swallows and looks away. "Just, you know, to help. He's not joining the band or anything. Just kind of coaching me, and maybe just other stuff, maybe, sort of. I don't know yet, okay?" Brendan doesn't say anything. From the way Ryan's carefully studying his shoes, Brendan doesn't think he has to. Ryan is maybe a terminal moron when it comes to John. John is cuddlesome and adorable and laid back, and Ryan is none of those things even a little bit at all. So Ryan might whine to Brendan a lot about how much he wants to have John's babies, and Brendan is usually pretty much awesome about humoring him and poking him gently in the direction of actually growing a spine. However, there are some days when Brendan is kind of off about it. "Man the fuck up, Ryan Ross. At least you can touch him," Brendan yells, bright red, even though he's translucent. Ryan scowls back at him. Ryan kind of sucks at confrontation. Spencer mentions all the time that Ryan gets sort of pissy when he's criticized. "Fuck you, okay? What do you even know about it? You don't know John. You haven't even talked to him. And he probably doesn't even like guys, right? It's not like you'd even know what the fuck you're talking about anyways, okay? The guy you like doesn't know you're a lot." And then Ryan remembers that he's talking to a 19-year-old dead boy, and he's kind of a giant asshole. Brendan gives him a teary snare. "Yeah, that's because I'm not alive, Ryan. And even if, miracle of miracles, he wasn't terrified or horrified and he liked me, where the hell would that go, huh?" He tries to glare for another moment, and then his chin wobbles, and he falls down to just above the floor and curls up, sobbing. Ryan has never been good at people who cry. Mostly, it just kind of makes him hate himself. Brendan thinks Ryan probably got how much the idea of someone else, someone not Brendan, not Ryan, singing Brendan's words bothered him, because Gerard doesn't come around after that first time. Brendan knows Ryan still sees him, is singing with him, because he goes out more, that is, ever, and comes home singing songs that aren't theirs, aren't Brendan's. Things even further out of his range, the sort of songs that Brendan knows help expand it. Brendan tries not to let that bother him. Ryan's trying. It's not his fault that Brendan can't be all the things he wants to be. Brendan has more than he'd ever thought he'd have again, and that needs to be enough. Spencer groans as Brendan licks a stripe across his hip bone, dragging his pajamas down around his thighs. Soft black hair brushes against Spencer's stomach, and then Brendan wraps his lip around him and swallows him down, and Spencer really can't feel anything other than that anymore, so... When he comes, fingers tighten Brendan's hair, Brendan swallows and pulls off and grins at him, this blinding, gorgeous grin, and Spencer's dizzy, really dizzy, and he's falling away. And then he's in the goddamned guest room with a mess on the sky blue sheets. He sighs and runs a hand through his hair. Fuck. Brendan doesn't always just sex Spencer up in his dreams. Spencer would be kind of sad about that, except that when he's not doing unthinkably awesome things to Spencer's naked parts, Brendan has long, ridiculous conversations with him that don't actually make a lot of sense, and Spencer likes those almost as much as the sex. So, okay, Ryan and John. They totally have a gay thing going on, Spencer says one night, lying on his back in blue-green grass, looking up at a soft pink sky. Brendan, head on Spencer's stomach, nods and giggles. It's sort of tragic. Ryan needs to profess his love or some shit, no lie. Spencer snorts. Or something. Ryan's never been good at actually, you know, communicating like a human being. He's all bottled up. Is he? Brendan asks, humming a little. I hadn't noticed. The awake part of Spencer's brain wonders a little about that. But because he's dreaming, and that part is totally not the part behind the wheel, Spencer doesn't ask how the hell Brendan would know anyway. I think it's sort of about his dad, you know? The guy was an asshole. Ryan just kind of learned not to say what was on his mind, or much at all. He sang it, though. That was half of what their band had been about, at least in Spencer's eyes, giving Ryan a way to communicate. A way not to just fold in on himself and give up trying at all. Brendan hums again, musically this time. It sounds a little familiar, like... Is that Colors of the Wind? He asks, blinking a little. Brendan grins up at him, picking clumps of grass and littering his stomach with them. I'm surprised. I didn't peg you as the Disney type. Spencer shrugs. I have sisters. Pocahontas was a big part of his childhood, and only mostly because of his sisters. Spencer isn't going to lie. He maybe has a tiny weakness for John Smith and his cocky swagger. Brendan snickers at him. Spencer stretches his arms up, tucks them behind his head. This is nice, Brendan says softly, once he stops laughing at Spencer's secret fondness for Disney, turning on his side to look Spencer in the eye. Spencer cards his fingers through Brendan's hair, brushing bits of teal grass out of the dark strands. It is, he agrees, and wakes up. It takes him a minute, blinking up at the dark ceiling, to remember where he is, that he's not in a field with a boy, that he's in Ryan's house, alone, and that it's the middle of the night, not the middle of a pink afternoon. When everything floats back to him, Spencer starts to wonder if maybe he's actually going insane. This visit, nominally for band practice, is mostly the same as all of John's other visits, except that Spencer is even later than usual, a couple hours late, and Ryan and John have been having a soft musical conversation for a long time now. Brendan is sitting behind the piano, peeking out and watching, because, okay, he's kind of a nosy bastard, and Spencer isn't here yet, so there's no one else to be a creeper over. Ryan is playing the melody to a song he and Brendan had worked out a week ago, pausing here and there for John to feel his way through the sound, thread a bass line into it. I like it, John says when Ryan stops. Ryan's mouth quirks up at the corner, and he bites his lip a little. Yeah? Yeah, John says, and looks down at his hands. Ryan lifts his head, says, John. He stops, shakes his head, looks down again. Never mind. John tilts his head a little, hair falling into his eyes, and doesn't ask out loud. Just picks out a low hum of a question on his bass. Ryan's fingers shake a little when they try to give an answer. John, Ryan says again, low and awkward and a little helpless. John reaches out, and his hand stills Ryan's on the guitar, tightens over his fingers. He doesn't say anything, just laces their fingers together and strums them once over the strings, answering himself. When Ryan looks up, cheeks pink, John leans in, all the way in, smiling his springtime and kitten smile, and Brendan drifts down into the floor, courteously leaves them to themselves as their mouths meet. He tries to ignore the jealous ache in his chest. Spencer eventually shows up for practice, bundled up for the winter weather. This is not the first time Brendan has heard Spencer play the drums. Brendan has heard it a dozen times over the months that Ryan has been living here, that the guys have been practicing here. Brendan knows, mentally, that Spencer plays the drums. Feeling it, though, feeling the air vibrate through him, feeling the sound hum through the house, that's different. That's amazing. Every fucking time. Spencer doesn't play the drums. Spencer is the beat, is the music, and the drums just let Brendan hear it. Ryan didn't laugh at Brendan when he said it after the first time, just smiled and nodded, the way a proud parent or sibling would. Yeah, that's my friend. Brendan taps the rhythm out on his thigh while he sits, curled up behind the piano, listening to Spencer play. Softly, so softly, he sings under his breath along with Ryan. His voice is stronger, deeper, fuller than Ryan's. Ryan tells him this all the time, says it with an undercurrent of fond jealousy. But Brendan can't exactly get up on a stage and sing with them, so Ryan sings their words, his voice catching on things Brendan's would soar through. It's still beautiful, soft and elegant and evocative, but Brendan's chest aches with the need to sing along, really sing along, feel his voice winding around Ryan's, around the guitar, John's bass, Spencer's drums, even if only in this room. Brendan reins it in, just sings silently along behind the piano, and makes sure no one hears. Spencer doesn't bother calling Ryan to tell him he's coming back over. He only left 15 minutes ago. What could Ryan possibly be doing that Spencer hasn't seen before? It's fucking cold out. Spencer wants his other sweater, and distracted as he was by his argument with John over the merits of Chitara versus Panthro, he's relatively sure he left it draped over the hi-hat of his drum kit, or possibly in the guest room. Trotting up the rickety steps, Spencer gives a perfunctory knock on the door and opens it. Ryan's not in the hall or the kitchen, so Spencer toes off his shoes. Ryan threatens him with painful death if he tracks dirt around, and there's still mud in the driveway from the rainstorm last night, and pads down the hall towards the music room. Someone is singing, and for a moment, Spencer thinks it's Ryan. But Ryan's voice doesn't sound a thing like this. No offense to Ryan, his voice is kind of shaky. This, though, this is round and full, and it pulls at things in Spencer's gut that he didn't know were there. Whoever it is, he's singing the song that the band, if you can call Ryan and Spencer and John an actual band, was practicing earlier, the one Ryan's randomly calling 9 in the afternoon. Spencer had tried to explain that you either had 9 in the morning or 9 at night, but Ryan was completely disinterested in the facts of it. Spencer stands at the door for a minute, not wanting to interrupt, just listening. The voice is somehow familiar, just a little, tickling at something in the back of Spencer's head. When the singing stops, he cracks the door, says, "Hey, that was fucking amazing, Rye. Who have you been holding out on us?" And then he has a fucking heart attack, because Brendan, Sexy Dreams Brendan, is standing in the middle of the room, eyes, pun fully appropriate, the size of the moon. Spencer's eyes are probably about the same size, and he would blink them, right, except that his brain is frozen. Because this isn't happening, can't be happening, and even if it is, it doesn't make the least bit of sense at all. "Spencer can't possibly actually be here," Brendan says, blinking like an owl. "Spencer," Ryan starts at the same time, cutting himself off when Spencer meets his eyes. Brendan isn't real. Brendan is a figment of Spencer's not getting any action lately imagination, and yet here he is, standing, singing in Ryan's house, right here. Spencer kicks his brain into gear enough for it to autonomously decide that the correct reaction to this is probably anger, given that the situation at hand is sick and impossible and connected to Ryan. "I think," Spencer says, narrowing his eyes so he doesn't see red, "that we've established that I'm Spencer. Now can we get to what the fuck is going on?" Ryan coughs and looks at Brendan, who is kind of shaking. "Spence," Ryan says, "look, this is Brendan. He's kind of been helping me write stuff." Spencer growls, because that's not it. That's totally not the issue. The issue is that there's a guy Spencer thought was totally imaginary, standing in Ryan's house, and Ryan's acting like it's not a big deal, like he hasn't been fucking with Spencer's head somehow. Spencer is relatively sure that this mindfuckery is somehow Ryan's fault. You can only read so much Chuck Palahniuk before it messes with your brain and causes you to become an evil mindfucking genius. He hasn't worked out exactly how it's Ryan's fault yet, but he'll get to that once his head stops spinning. "How about, instead of telling me about songs, okay, Rye, you tell me who the fuck he is and why the hell he's here, or," he rounds on Brendan, "maybe you can tell me what's going on, huh? What the fuck have you even been doing to my head? Jesus!" He tries to calm his breathing down, but he maybe has sort of a massive fear of not being in control of things, okay? And yes, he can handle not being in control of everything, but somehow, someone has been fucking with his brain, and that shit is just not cool. It's his brain. Ryan puts on his best bitch face. "Oh, well, fuck you, I'm sorry. Am I not allowed to have friends that aren't you, Spencer? Is that not okay?" Spencer deepens his glare, stalking forward to poke a finger at Brendan's chest. "Sure you are. When you..." Spencer stops, because poking a finger at Brendan's chest doesn't work. His finger goes into Brendan's chest, into fizzing air, thick like water, and sparking like a live wire. He yanks his hand back belatedly, blinking rapidly. What the fuck? Brendan's hands go up in front of him, and his eyes get even bigger, and he says, I'm sorry, I don't... And then he's gone through the floor, just poof, straight down, and Spencer is left alone with Ryan. What the fuck? Spencer asks again, voice low and dangerous. Ryan doesn't really give a shit about Spencer's dangerous voice, though, because Brendan's all freaked out, and Ryan's kind of worried about him. This is sort of the exact thing Brendan's been terrified would happen, and Ryan kind of wants to kill things with his bare hands, because he doesn't like to see Brendan upset at all, let alone this upset. Yanking off his guitar strap, he snaps, "He's fucking dead already, Spencer. Could you maybe not make it any worse?" Spencer blinks at him, and Ryan rolls his eyes. "What, Spence? You thought I was mystically creating human beings out of your perverse imagination? I had no idea you'd seen him before. This is his fucking house, okay? He died in it. And it would be really awesome if you didn't run him out of it by being a douche because you think his existence is somehow my fault. You're a fucking irrational fucktard, okay? Shut the hell up." Ryan doesn't wait for Spencer to say anything, just yanks the door open and points down the hall. "Make it better, Spencer James Smith, or I will make guitar strings out of your entrails before you can blink." Spencer clears his throat, opens his mouth to say something. He meets Ryan's eyes, thinks better of it, and follows Ryan's pointing finger down the hall. Brendan goes and hides in the guest room, because when Spencer isn't there, that's his room. He tries to calm down, tries to be quiet, but there's not a lot he can do about it. He's been in love with Spencer for months and has never even said hello. Hasn't said anything because he's been terrified of exactly this. And all of a sudden, Spencer sees him, mistakes him for a real person even. And still, Spencer somehow hates him for no reason at all. Brendan stifles his sobs into his hands. He'd use a pillow or something, but he can interact with real things even less when he's upset, so that's not going to happen. Ryan will just have to deal with the noise. Brendan doesn't think he'll be that bothered. Someone clears their throat, and Brendan chokes a sob into a hiccup in surprise. Spencer is hovering in the doorway, looking conflicted. He starts, shakes his head, tries again. Brendan blinks at him, sniffles a little. "Yeah." Spencer bites his lip, palms the back of his neck awkwardly. You're real. "Sort of," Brendan agrees, laughing a little wetly. The laugh turns into another sob, and he hides his face in the crook of his arm. Spencer hesitates in the doorway for a minute, then shuffles into the room. He pauses for another minute, but eventually sits down beside Brendan on the bed and runs a hand through the faintly tingling patch of air where Brendan's hair appears. "Shh," he tells Brendan softly. "I'm not mad, okay? I get it now." Brendan just lets the tears run until there aren't any more, lets himself feel comforted by the buzz of Spencer's hand through where his hair should be. "What happened to you?" Spencer asks softly, when Brendan stops crying, is just snuffling quietly into the sleeve of his translucent purple hoodie. Brendan shrugs. "I got really sick. I had a big family, and they couldn't really afford a lot of medication or anything, and I guess I had pneumonia or something. It's kind of fuzzy. And it got worse, and one day I just woke up and couldn't feel things or touch people anymore." He demonstrates his inability to touch things by trying to put his hand over the one Spencer's stroking over his hair with, and sure enough, his fingers fizzle right through. He doesn't talk about after, when his parents saw him and screamed and called him a demon and left him in the house and almost all of their things. Spencer, though, shakes his head. "I can feel your hair," he says, half perplexed, half defiant. And Brendan snaps back to here now. Brendan snorts. "You cannot, Spencer Smith. You just think you can." "I can so," Spencer protests. "It's like how you can feel water. Like, it doesn't feel like anything, but you can tell the difference between when your hand is in it and when your hand is just in the air. Brendan doesn't call him out on how ridiculous that sounds. It's too nice of a thing to think about for him to really want to protest. And he doesn't mean to. He totally doesn't. But he imagines how good it would feel for Spencer to actually be stroking his hair, and he falls asleep to the rhythmic brush of fingers across his scalp. Spencer shows up early in the day on a Friday, when Ryan is out. He lets himself in with the key from under the mat, and wanders through the house, looking for Brendan. He hears him before he finds him. He's singing From a Mountain in the Middle of the Cabins, and it's nothing, nothing like when Ryan sings it. Spencer stands in the doorway to the kitchen, where Brendan is dancing around a little while he sings, and listens. He's only heard him sing once, and it's somehow almost a religious experience, this, hearing him sing, so open and unguarded, like he's doing it with his entire being. Spencer is pretty sure he could never listen to anything else, and he'd still be perfectly content. Brendan turns, though, and sees him, and the sound just completely dies in his throat. He coughs a little, ducking his head. "Spence," he says awkwardly. "That was amazing," Spencer says, grinning at him. "It sounded so much more..." "No, no, it's not. I mean..." Brendan cuts him off. "It's Ryan's. I'm sorry, okay? Don't tell anyone. I don't have any right to be messing with it." He twists his hoodie in his hands. "Please, don't tell him I was messing with it." "Brendan, you wrote like half the words. Hell, you wrote most of the words he sings." Brendan shrugs, doesn't meet his eyes. "Yeah, I guess." Spencer narrows his eyes at him. "Brendan, seriously, what the hell? It's your song, too." Brendan looks up, eyes guarded, and says, voice small and tight, "But it's not my band, okay? It's not mine, and I'm not a part of it, and I don't have any business meddling in parts of it." Spencer is pretty sure that his heart breaks a little. "Bren." He swallows back the bile rising in his throat. "Brendan, okay? It's yours. You write it. You're allowed to sing it. Ryan just... you give it to him, and that's awesome, but it's yours." "It's not." Brendan's voice is low but firm. "I gave it to him. To the band. The songs aren't mine anymore. They're the band's, and I need to let them go. I don't normally sing them. I was just..." He stops himself, shoving his hands into his pockets. Spencer looks at him for a long moment, then says decisively, "We're going to fix this." Spencer has a super-secret clubhouse discussion with Ryan. Or, well, it's not an actual clubhouse, because they're totally adults now and don't have one anymore. But he corners Ryan in the hall and shoves him into the bathroom and sits him down on the edge of the tub and says, "Brendan thinks he's not allowed to sing the band's songs." Ryan squints at him. "That's moronic." "Yes," Spencer agrees, "and he should be more of a part of things. Feel more like they're his, too." Ryan nods, keeping up with him in that awesome way that Ryan always has. "We should tell John about him." Spencer nods along, sits down on the closed toilet, and they plan things. Super secret clubhouse things. Or, well, super secret band meetings in a bathroom things. John deals with finding out about Brendan a lot better than Spencer did. He shows up like 4 hours early for band practice and doesn't bother to knock, which Brendan supposes is understandable, because he and Ryan are totally sleeping together now, and that's part of his boyfriend rights or something. "Hey, Ryan, Spence," he says, shuffling into the band room and cocking his head at Brendan. "Hey, other dude." Brendan blinks at him, but Ryan beams at John and says, "He's Brendan. He's my dead roommate. He's been helping me write things." John just stands there for a minute during which Brendan seriously wishes he could strangle Ryan for completely taking this out of his hands like a total asshole. Holy shit. After the minute, though, John just nods and says, "Awesome. We should totally go make out now, since I totally got here early for that purpose. That is totally why I'm here." Ryan grins and hands Spencer his guitar like nothing about the exchange was at all weird. Like he didn't just totally risk alienating John from Brendan forever. On the other hand, Brendan supposes, Ryan and John are on some sort of secret men of stringed instruments wavelength, and it's probably better to just let Ryan handle it. On it, Ryan says, and follows John from the room. So, Spencer says, turning to Brendan like that totally wasn't weird as hell, we should work on Northern Downpour. I don't think I'm solid on it yet. Brendan blinks at him for a minute, then swallows and nods. Right, totally, yes, let's do that. And if Spencer seems weirdly innocent about the whole thing, Brendan doesn't say anything. How do you give him stuff? Spencer demands, dropping unceremoniously onto Ryan's bed at 8:00 in the morning. Ryan blinks at him sleepily, but doesn't try to give him shit by asking what he's talking about. I burn it. Spencer tips his head to the side. And that works? Ryan shrugs. Apparently. He pushes his hair back from his face with one hand. Also, if you burn yourself to death so you can bang my dead roommate, I will follow you and kick your ass. Spencer would protest that he hadn't thought of that when Ryan said it. But he'd be lying. He wouldn't do it, though. Mostly because he's pretty sure Brendan would kick his ass, too. Also, it would probably be really, really painful. And Spencer doesn't actually have a terribly high pain tolerance. No, he huffs in frustration. I don't know, Rye. I just want to do what I can. Ryan gives him a piercing look, derogatory and pitying all at once. Spencer kind of wants to slap him. You can't do much for him, Spence. He's dead. Spencer glares right back. Spencer's bitch face is fearsome. He knows this. Brendan's told him so. You give him things. You wouldn't if you thought that, asshole. Ryan scowls at him for another minute before he says, He likes Indian food. He's a vegetarian. Spencer grins at him. Awesome. Brendan swallows, stares at Spencer and the table he set up in the living room, or more specifically, the things on it. 4 paper takeout containers full of Indian food. Sag paneer, vegetable korma, vegetable biryani, and raita. Vegetarian Indian food. Brendan's favorite food. Spencer bites his lip, ducks his head. Ryan said you could eat it if I... He gestures at the fireplace vaguely. Silverware was kind of hard. I could only find a wooden spoon. I felt like plastic would probably... Yeah, so, spoon. He waves a wooden spoon, a little bigger than a normal spoon. But Brendan's pretty fucking sure he'll deal with it. Yeah, I... Brendan can't actually remember how to talk. You got all this for... I mean, this is actually for me? Spencer gives him a fake bitch face, says, No, Brendan, I totally just put it here to taunt you. Built a fire, too, just to be a total jerk. He sticks out his tongue. Yes, okay, it's for you. Now sit down. Brendan sits, watching with wide eyes as Spencer methodically takes each container to the fireplace, setting it flat on the burning logs and letting it go up in flames before he adds the next one. What? Brendan says nervously, tapping his fingers on his thighs. I mean, what are you eating? Spencer looks up from where he's crouched by the fireplace and smiles. Meat. I'm totally going to enjoy the flesh of delicious baby sheep in curry. Brendan makes a face, but laughs anyways. He can't help it. He's kind of ridiculously giddy. When he sobers, he asks, can't help but ask, Spence, seriously, why are you doing all this? When the food is all ready, shimmering and translucent in its containers, Spencer joins him at the low table. He looks Brendan in the eyes for the first time that night, leans forward a little, and says, low and serious, Because I'm basically stupid for you, and I don't know what else I can do. Brendan feels his stomach turn over, feels his skin go tight. Spence, he says. And it's not anything. It's not even a question. It's just to remind himself that this is actually happening, that it's not something in his head. Brendan, he says back, smiling with half his mouth. Shut up and eat your dinner. Brendan chokes back a laugh, holds back all of the babbling ridiculousness that wants to seep out of him, and obeys. Spencer doesn't mind that Brendan sleeps in his bed. Spencer tells Brendan that he's ridiculous, and that it's Brendan's house, and Spencer is really sleeping in his bed, and that he needs to shut the fuck up and go to sleep, or Spencer will sing to him. And that's a real threat, because Spencer's singing is atrocious. So Brendan smiles a secret happy smile, and curls up, carefully not touching Spencer's space. He listens to Spencer breathe with the kind of attention he couldn't pay before, when he was worrying that Spencer would wake up and freak out. Now Brendan's allowed, and that's the nicest thing that's happened in a long, long while. When Ryan tries a half dozen times and still can't hit the high note Brendan wants in the newest song, he throws up his hands and snaps, "Well, you fucking sing it then." Brendan just raises an eyebrow at him. "Right, because I can totally leave this house and go play shows with you. That can happen." He jams his hands into his pockets, tries not to let the hurt show through in his voice. John and Spencer don't say anything. They just wait while Ryan breathes hard through his nose and glares at Brendan like this is all somehow his fault. Brendan doesn't blame them. He would be trying not to draw attention to himself, too, if he were in their position. "We can just change the note," Brendan says finally, hanging his head. "It won't be right, it won't be the song in his head, but it'll be something, and that's more than he could have without Ryan." "No," Ryan says, teeth gritted, like it's actually painful for him to say. "It's better your way." All the breath sags out of him. "I just can't do it." "Why exactly," John says slowly, "can't Brendan sing it?" When Ryan opens his mouth to say what Brendan's thinking, "Duh, genius, he's a ghost, okay, not a person, he can't leave the house, can't get up on stage in front of a bunch of people who wouldn't even be able to see him if he did leave," John puts a quelling hand on Ryan's shoulders and asks, "I didn't ask why he can't perform it, I ask why he can't sing it." Ryan goes quiet for a minute, looking at John. John gives him a half smile, shrugs one shoulder. "It's a thought," Ryan says, slow, like he's working something through in his head. Brendan doesn't ask what the thought is. If Ryan has a thought about how Brendan can sing and actually have people hear him, he's not going to jinx it by asking questions before Ryan's done thinking it through. "We'd need to bring the equipment here," Ryan says thoughtfully, tapping his fingers on his thigh while he thinks. "And someone to actually mix it. Because I sure as hell don't know how to." Brendan hadn't noticed Spencer coming up behind him, but all of a sudden there are hands over his shoulders, keeping him touching the floor, keeping him solid, grounded. He can feel them almost, and it lends him the strength to try to say something, to ask, "Are you talking about Ryan? I mean, do you mean..." Ryan meets his eyes, and biting back a smile, nods. "Recording, Bren. We'll make an album, okay? And I can't..." He pauses, eyes flicking away for a second, guilty. "I can't do anything about performing. I don't know what the hell anyone could do, but we'll make an album." Brendan blinks at him. "We," he says, just to make sure. Spencer answers before Ryan can, his voice right next to Brendan's ear. "We," he confirms. Brendan resists the urge to zoom around the ceiling, yelling, "Yes, yes, woo!" Because if they're going to treat him like an actual person, he should probably try to act like one. Spencer wakes up that night to little whimpering noises. He panics for a second, because they're clearly Brendan, and that's bad. But then he realizes that it's probably not actually a sound of pain, because Brendan's dead. And it's really unlikely that he's cut himself or stubbed his toe or something. So Spencer opens his eyes and rolls over. Brendan freezes, eyes popping open and looking away in guilt. The heel of his hand is still pressed against the front of his sweats, and he's been grinding up into it, clearly positive that Spencer was out for the count.
I was just...
He's babbling, frantic, eyes anywhere but on Spencer's face. Like Spencer would somehow be bothered, be anything but turned on. "Brendan," Spencer's voice is hoarse. He reaches out and tucks his hand under the buzzing bit of air that is Brendan's chin, and Brendan looks at him, eyes still too wide. "Spence," he says, sounding pain now. "Bren, can you feel my hand?" Brendan blinks at him, once, twice, like an owl, momentarily distracted from his insistence that he totally wasn't masturbating or anything. Kind of? It doesn't feel like a hand or anything, but I can feel that it's there. Spencer grins at him, and he probably looks unbalanced, lying there in the dark with this crazy smile. But Brendan smiles back a little, tentatively. Spencer's going to run with that as something like permission. Brendan's eyes snap shut and open again, wider than before, when Spencer's hand rubs against the front of his sweats. "Spence," he whimpers, and then Spencer focuses as hard as he can on the idea that Brendan is solid, Brendan is real, and he squeezes. Brendan's eyes roll up, and he makes this heart-stopping mewling sound, hips jerking up desperately, begging for actual pressure. Spencer lets go, and Brendan whimpers. "Spencer?" He's blinking up at Spencer again, like he's afraid he's done something wrong, and Spencer's chest tightens. "Shh," he says, not unkindly. "I'm trying something." Brendan huffs out a breath, but he loses the shadow of fear in his eyes. Spencer focuses again on the reality of Brendan, on the way that even if he's dead, his chest is still rising and falling rapidly. His eyes are still blinking. His skin is still there, present and real, damn it, under Spencer's fingers. He traces them over Brendan's hips, the waistline of his pants, his stomach, over his chest. Spencer keeps his eyes closed, narrowing in on the sensation of more than air under his hands. Brendan's breathing harder now, sharp little pants and gasps, and Spencer can feel tense muscles straining under his fingertips. Spencer trails his hands up to Brendan's collarbone, throat, neck, the sides of his face. He cages Brendan's face between his hands, trying really, really hard to remember to feel the skin under his palms. Skin that isn't there, but should be, can be, if he makes it. "Bren," he says, soft as he can, "look at me." Brendan's eyes are wide and dark, and Spencer can see the little dips in his lower lip from where he's been biting it, trying to keep quiet. "Spencer, what?" He looks to the side, uncomfortable under scrutiny. "You can't. I mean, I can't. It's not going to work." Spencer shakes his head. "I'm not asking you to do anything." He lets go of Brendan's face, lifting himself up and moving until he's straddling Brendan's hips. He has to hold his hips off the bed, since Brendan obviously can't hold any of his weight, and that's kind of uncomfortable, but he doesn't want to pass through Brendan either, so he'll deal. Brendan's watching him, nervous and kind of twitchy. "Spencer, seriously, what are you even trying to do? Because, Brendan, seriously, shut the fuck up." Spencer bends down over him, carefully keeping a good inch away from Brendan's skin. He leans in as close as he can, and half an inch from Brendan's lips, he says, "I'm trying to kiss you, dumbass, so it would help if you'd fucking hold still and stop telling me I can't." He looks at Brendan's mouth, concentrates on the tiny ridges and valleys in his lips, the nervous swipe of his tongue over his lower one, the way his mouth is quirked just a little higher on the right from too many lopsided grins. "Spencer," Brendan breathes, less of a protest and more of an affirmation this time, and Spencer carefully lines up their lips and closes the gap between them. Spencer's lips are the first thing Brendan's felt, actually felt, like he can feel every millimeter of soft, soft skin edged in 5 in the morning stubble, in nearly 6 years, and they feel awesome. Spencer is totally not stopping to be amazed at the fact that it's working, that they're actually kissing. And maybe that's because he'd believed it was going to work this whole time. But Brendan's pretty sure he just isn't sure it'll work again, and he wants to make the most of it in case it doesn't. Brendan is totally on board with this plan. He so is. Spencer's licking at his lower lip, slowly. He's doing everything so slowly, like he thinks if he moves too fast, Brendan will blur away. And actually, for all Brendan knows, that might be true, so he doesn't rush him. He sighs a little, and Spencer licks into his mouth, slick and soft and warm. And that's the first time in a long time that anything has actually had a temperature that Brendan can feel. He can't help that he arches up a little, regrets it as soon as his hips leave the bed, knows he won't get the pressure he's looking for, except that he does, and Spencer's hips grind right back. It's not like it should be. Spencer sinks a half inch into the space where Brendan is, but something under Brendan's skin has a resistance now, like sand almost, like Spencer sinking into the top layer of him and isn't going further, and that's something really, really close to enough. Close enough that Brendan thinks he's pretty much totally okay with it. Momentarily jubilant with the discovery, he wiggles his hips in a little dance, and freezes when Spencer growls. Spencer's hand grabs his hip, grabs it, and pulls him closer. "Don't stop," he complains into the corner of Brendan's mouth. And oh, okay, a happy growl. Brendan's maybe not used to those, but he thinks he could probably get there. He presses his hips up and grinds in a little, and Spencer makes this amazing noise in the back of his throat, like he's in pain and really freaking happy about it. Spencer's mouth trails, hot and damp, over Brendan's cheek, pressing kisses into his jaw, and then he sinks his teeth into the side of Brendan's throat, and Brendan keens. He blushes as soon as the noise comes out, but Spencer's eyes are closed, and Brendan's pretty sure he doesn't actually mind if the way he's rubbing up against Brendan is any indication. He reaches up to tangle his hand in Spencer's hair before he even thinks about it. His fingers buzz through a few strands, and Brendan's heart skips a beat before they finally catch, and he can hold on while Spencer leaves a trail of marks across his skin that prove that this is real. This is happening. When Spencer's hips move a little faster, Brendan doesn't even try to hold in the noises, just clings and tries to keep up. Spencer pants, open-mouthed, against the juncture of Brendan's neck and shoulder, and when Brendan comes, shaking and almost surprised, Spencer isn't far behind.